And we'll look at 1 John chapter 3 in light of Lord's Day 48. What does the second petition mean? Your kingdom come. 1 John chapter 3, and you'll find it on page 1866. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now, he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And then we go to the Lord's Prayer, the second petition, as we confess it with Lord's Day 48, which is on page 255 in your Forms and Prayer book. Question and answer 123. What does the second petition mean? Your kingdom come means, rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your holy word. Do all this until your kingdom fully comes, when you will be all in all. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, last time when we picked up that prayer and that petition, Hallowed be thy name, we said it's a bit of an odd petition because God's name is holy. How can it be made more holy than it already is? But we came to that understanding that Jesus is talking to us about how we are involved in making that name holy. But for that to happen, God has to be involved in us. God has to change us, to change our will, to change our desire, that we, more than anything else, would desire that his name be holy. And that's the same sort of thing with the kingdom of God. There's always been a kingdom of God, because there's always been God, and God has always been king. So from before the creation of the world, God was always there. And God was always king. By his will and by his royal ordination, he decided that he would create the heavens and the earth. And when he created the heavens and the earth, sometimes astounding to us and difficult for us to understand, is that he created a world with the potential for evil. That he allowed evil to be there. He didn't create evil. He's not the author of it. God cannot be charged with it. But in his desire to bring salvation to the elect, he also allowed for, at the beginning, the freedom of the will of man and the freedom of the will of the angels. And so under God the King, we have the first rebellion, Satan. And we read in Jude 6 that he leaves his proper domain. Why exactly? We don't know. But we do know that at the heart of it was pride. That he wanted to be God. He wanted to have power. And that he set himself over against God. And we've talked about that, but sin never makes you intelligent. We talked about that this morning. And especially on Good Friday. Whatever Satan is, pure evil, pure wickedness, pure hatred, he's not pure genius. And to think that you are going to set up a kingdom opposed to Almighty God who created you is, of course, insane. But God allowed it. And then when God created Adam and Eve and he gave them the image of God, he said, have dominion over the earth and I give you my image and I want you to rule it for me. Adam and Eve then were never king and queen. Adam and Eve were, at best, vice king and queen, vice president, if you will, or we call that a vice regency. It meant that God authorized them and they ruled on his behalf and that there was harmony between the king and those who had dominion. And it was beautiful. And on the end of that sixth day, God said, it's very good. And then he took a day of rest. Well, we know what happened. The devil got in there, and the devil didn't love Adam and Eve. When he came to them and said, in the day you eat of the fruit, you will not surely die. He's lying. He hates them. He knows his doom is sure, and he is going to bring them down, and he is going to set himself up. And at that point, we have two kingdoms. We have one kingdom that will always show itself in one simple, abiding truth. That truth, ultimately, we find it in Jesus Christ, the Word, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And then you find that living in the people of God who are the citizens of the kingdom and in the work they do on behalf of Christ in the broader kingdom, working under God's rule, under the new Adam. But then you also have another kingdom under the Prince of Darkness. And it shows itself up in a myriad of ways. Islam, Buddhism, atheism, existentialism, all kinds of vain philosophies, godless capitalism, godless communism, godless socialism, and on it goes, all vying for attention, all vying for some way to man to make himself dignified, to make himself noble, to make him either never feel guilty or to find some way to resolve that guilt which can never be resolved. But at the end of the day, Almighty God says, if you believe in me, though you die and you put your faith in my Son, you will live, and you are living already. Now, Satan is intelligent enough to not come to you and say, if you follow me, you will die. If you follow me, you are following me to hell. If you become a member of my kingdom and you were born into that kingdom, you will burn forever. Of course, he doesn't say that. What he tells you is you can be free. What he tells you is you can have life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. That you can give in to any feeling or any sense of lust that you have. You can decide what gender you are. You can decide your sexuality. You can decide everything. There is no truth. Don't worry about it. And the lie continues. And all of those who are of the devil are of their father, the liar, and the murderer who was from the beginning. And then into that chaotic mess comes the clarion prayer, Our Father, the one who loves us, intimate one, the one who gave his son to die for us, who is in heaven, ruler of all things, in control of everything, provider of all my needs, including my faith. Make your name holy. Let us live for you. Let us bring glory to you. Make your name holy, and no matter what you do, that every human being would know that you are God, that they are without excuse for knowing you. Your kingdom come. And we want your kingdom then to come as an obedient kingdom. And that speaks directly to you and me. Then as a preserved kingdom. For without God's preservation, without the work of Jesus Christ gathering and defending us, we wouldn't stand for a moment. But then always in the light of a victorious kingdom, kind of bringing back what we heard this morning, we need to go in the confidence of a risen Savior, a glorious Savior, who has won the victory that, as Luther wrote, the Prince of Darkness grim, we tremble not for him, for lo, his doom is sure. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Beloved, now we know that we are children of God. We don't know how deep that is. We don't even know the perfect wonder of it. But one day we will see him, and we shall see him as he is, and then we will know, and we will purify ourselves. But we live in a world where whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and that they hate us. So little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. God revealed him that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, does not desire to sin. It does not rule his life, for he cannot sin because he's been born of God. But do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. For we know that we have passed from death to life. We've passed out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of death to life, because we love the brethren. We are characterized by this love in a world of hate. You understand, right, that that's why Satan worked so hard and sadly, successfully, as we just went through as churches, this whole bout with COVID. And I really don't care what side you are on of masks and not masks and vaccination. All of those are, it's good topics, and just discuss them, and it's good. But how did we treat each other who said we love the Lord but were of different opinion? How many churches, as a church visitor, we saw what it did to so many churches, what it did to families, how very quickly opinion turned to absolute truth, and you needed to hold to my truth. And by the way, I'm involved with this too. I can very simply say it to you. How many of you don't struggle with a bitterness and an anger, maybe even a hatred of our government, of distrust of the elders, of even distrust of talking about it with one another? Thy kingdom come. Father in heaven, we want to be good citizens. We want to be the children of God who are known by love. Father in heaven, your kingdom come. Let us know how loved we are. So the elders called us together on Good Friday. And that's not necessarily a day commanded by God, but it is a good day where the church gets together to remember the mighty act of God in saving us in the death of the royal sufferer. And then called us together to commune at the table of the Lord. That when we commune at the table of the Lord this morning on an Easter morning, what we said, we're taking and eating and remembering and believing that God sent his Son to die on the cross for us. How loved are we? I mean, that language is so positive. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Who calls us the children of God? He does. And then we need to. And we need to live out of that sense that he loves me too. He loves me too. I know he loves me too. If God so loves the little birds, if God so loves the flowers, if God so loves the world, I know he loves me too. That we need to get back to that. In that, we are humble. Not first of all citizens, not first of all nobility, or royalty, although all of that's true, but you are the children of God who depend upon a heavenly Father who has said, I love you, now love me. I call you my children, now you call me Father. And you know what, kids? Get along. Love each other. Love each other that the name of God would be hallowed because of us. And I think we have a lot to repent for, all of us. And if we go forward and we move and it happens again, we can figure this out. And that doesn't mean we agree, because we can't. I was asked by a person this week, why, Pastor Al, is there so much brokenness in the church? Why are there so many churches? Why don't we get along? What's the answer? Because of sin. Because I'm a sinner. And you know what? There's days when I think I know it all. Ask my wife or my kids. And I'm wrong. And it takes me probably 3 weeks to admit it. How about you? But what happens in the 3 weeks that I don't admit it? And that's when the trouble happens, isn't it? And that's when we make a mess of things. And I forget that the mess maker, the chaos maker, the sinner, bazillion, is still loved by God? What manner of love is this? Far too often, we resemble Cain. Don't be like Cain. His works were evil. Why were his works evil? Because he hated his brother's works that were righteous. He hated his brother. Is that true of us? And I think it is. And then Jesus says, pray with all of your heart. Your kingdom comes. And then the catechism kind of gives us a definition of that. Rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. That's powerful stuff, eh? Who in Canada wants to say, Jesus, rule us, Father in heaven, rule us by your word and spirit that we submit to you? Submission is a bad word. Submission means that you have bad self-image, that you are going to be put down, that you don't think enough of yourself. Isn't this what Nietzsche has been teaching for years? That you don't need God, that Christianity has kept us stupid, Christianity has kept us irresponsible. Stand up, man up, run your own life, and when you run your own life, be willing to take the consequences. In fact, so far that he went that he would say Christianity is immoral. Stalin, opiate of the masses, that's what Christianity is. Humanism, I am the measure of all things. My mind is the measure of all things. Of atheism, we don't need God. And then back to Nietzsche, God is dead and we have killed him because, well, we invented him in the first place. The devil is good at what he does. And he is so absolutely evil and wicked in what he does that Nietzsche dies of insanity due to syphilis. Nietzsche is dead, and God killed him. And as far as we know, he never repented. And as far as we know, he's burning in hell. And yet the world follows after him because they want so bad to be their own God. Well, that's the world. But what John is writing to the fledgling church is, don't let the world get in, beloved. Let God rule you by his word and spirit. So what does that mean? Well, isn't that how he ends that chapter? He who keeps the commandments abides in him and he in him. God rules us by the command. And what is the great command? That we love one another, that our joy would be full. Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What a terrible commandment, eh? What a terrible thing to ask anybody to do, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Why do we hate it so much? Be honest, don't we? I want you to love me. I want God to love me. I want God to save me, but I want to do what I want to do, and please don't get in my way. And please don't bother me with your opinions. And please don't ask me to agree with you or to love you all the time. And this is more true of men than of women, although feminism is really knocking that down, because now even women, as they become like men, can only love somebody who loves them. I will only love you if you love me back. I will love you if I consider you lovable. Father, we need your kingdom to come. We need you to rule us by your word and by your spirit. Help us, Lord God, to submit to you. We don't want to be Cain. We want to be Abel. We don't want to be unrighteous. We want to be righteous. We don't want to walk by a brother who is in need and say, I don't have 50 bucks for you, man. I'm sorry. I don't have anything for you while we go and fill up our car. Who are we? And that's why Jesus, remember when we talked about at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer that we need to be careful about theologizing the Lord's Prayer? And again, my commentary spent a lot of time, what is the kingdom of God? How has it manifested itself? And all of the things, how is the kingdom of God different than the church? And I think that's good. And in catechism class, we should discuss some of that stuff. But in the end, why did Jesus ask us to pray? To remind us of who we are. And to remind us of who we need to be. And to remind us that we're not who we're supposed to be. That we are not ruled by his word and by his spirit. And so, Father in heaven, I don't want to walk in the darkness anymore. Father in heaven, I don't want to be like all those people in the world who are walking and don't even see the edge of the precipice of the pit that they're going to fall into when they drop dead one day. Open my eyes, Lord God. Open my eyes and let me walk with you by the light of your word. Let me trust. Let me obey. Your kingdom come. Rule us in the church that we can now go out and do your work. Let us love as we go out into the accountant's office. Let us love when the trucker comes in and picks up the milk. Let us love when it's time to sell the feed. Let us love when we walk into the hospital and take care of those whom we love. Let us love when our teachers ask us to do something. And let us love when our parents ask us to do something. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. It's not natural to me. Lord God, work that power by your Holy Spirit. Your kingdom come. But Father in heaven, we pray also that your kingdom would come. Please preserve us. Because we see the devil's works. We see what the devil is doing in our hearts and in our lives. We see that we are children of God. And that we shall be like him. But God has revealed the devil for us that we might understand who he is. He is a murderer. He is a liar. And he is the force for destruction. That's why it's so interesting, I think, and I think it's hard for us as Christians because we apply a logic when we look at the world and we're going, the world's destroying itself. So after World War II, and during the war, so many women had to go to work because so many men were soldiers. And then feminism and the economy said, no, women, just stay in the workplace. And then the big lie, women, guess what? You can work, and you can raise the children, and you can be a good wife, and you can do all of these things, and you'll never be tired, and you're going to do it, and you're superwomen, and you can all do it. And what happened? Women are breaking down. Their life expectancy is lowered so that it's like that of men. Interestingly enough, one of the growing problems among women today is pornography, because they're becoming more and more like men, losing the sense of affection and moving into the world of erotica. But what suffered? The family. And why did the family suffer? Because if the devil hates nothing more, it's the kids of the church. And what about the kids of society who won't even see the light of day? Why do we have legislators that are trying to legalize pedophilia? And that the Supreme Court justice who's just been appointed has been very soft on punishing those kinds of people. They're destroying our society, and we know it. And on some level, they know it, and they don't care. Don't have children because it's bad for the environment. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. No, don't do that. You might wreck the environment. You know why? Because we know. It's the big lie. You don't have to suffer. Here's coke, here's heroin, here's drugs, here's booze. You feeling lonely? Sex will fill the void. It's all destruction. 200 STDs that are still incurable and still people engaged. Just protect yourself, they say. Teach them at a young age, they say. And our kids' minds are being warped and destroyed because that's what the devil does. He's not just a murderer of life now. The devil is a murderer of life eternally. The devil knows he's going down. And he's going to take everybody with him in that ship. And again, we understand that there's many people in that ship that are utterly ignorant of it. They have no clue that they're going down in flames. But why do we keep jumping in that ship? We've been saved from that ship. We've been taken out of that ship. And yet the forces of the devil keep coming. They come in our own hearts. They come through the temptations of the world. How often do we pray? And maybe this is going to be controversial, but I think we have to start praying it. Lord God, please destroy the Disney Channel. Because how many children in Canada and the United States are watching the Disney Channel? Lewd and lascivious nonsense that is nothing but lies. We need to pray this. Or that they would get converted, in which case the Disney Channel would change. Lord God, bring an end to godless environmentalism and let us show us the way of Christian stewardship of the creation. Lord God, our brothers and our sisters are suffering. Destroy Islam and the delusion that it has over millions of people who are bound for hell. You know, there's ministers that will not preach, and there's churches that will not sing the imprecatory songs, "Blessed is he who takes your babies and dashes their heads upon the rock." What are they saying there? Do not allow the next generation of the wicked to continue. That's what that's saying. And yet, we have become Canadian in the sense that, oh, well, as long as I'm living my life, don't worry about it. We live in evil. We're living in a world where our universities are being overwhelmed by people steeped in the delusion of the lie. And the devil has tricked us into believing that he hardly exists. That he's just some cute little thing, you know, with a pitchfork and a little tail. But look at what John is saying and what they are doing. Cain, who was the wicked one and murdered his brother because his works were evil. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. And I think we marvel. How can they hate us? They don't really hate us. But the minute you don't think they hate you, the minute you don't think they're under delusion, the minute you don't ask for the destruction of all the evil forces like communism or Putin, no, and that destruction is ultimately, Lord, break down their hearts and may they love you. But we want that to end because we're sick of what they're doing to the church. They're sick. We're sick of what they're doing to our brothers and sisters. We're sick of them trying to stop the gospel, what they did to John in the island of Patmos, what was going on in Rome, and it continues even today, that more Christians were executed and murdered last year than the last 10 years, and in the last 10 years, more than the last 100 years. Father in heaven, your kingdom comes. Destroy Cain. Destroy the murderers. Let the gospel go forward, because if you don't believe this, you're not going to do evangelism. If you do not believe, your unbelieving neighbors are going to hell, and that's why it's such, all this soft preaching is useless for evangelism. I mean, why would you go out? Well, if God loves everybody anyways, what does it matter? In which case, why are we even here? Do you believe that people who don't have Jesus Christ are going to hell, that they're murderers, that they need help, that they're sick? And we can't just write everything off as mental illness, although that's part of the sickness. But people are addicted to sin. They're addicted to pride. They're addicted to themselves, and they need help. And we need God to destroy that, to break it down, and to use us as part of this. Destroy every force which revolts against you, O God. Hallowed be your name. We are sick and tired of your name being blasphemed, of them going against your holy word. Do this, Heavenly Father, until your kingdom fully comes, when you will be all in all. So we're praying that the Heavenly Father would hallow his name by bringing his kingdom. Make us obedient. Destroy the forces of evil that come against your church and well up within us. But we do not pray that as sniveling cowards. We do not pray that, oh, I sure hope the Lord does this now. Oh, I hope something happens. We win. We heard it this morning. Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He has beat the devil. He has beat sin. He has beat hell. He has taken on the wrath of Almighty God, and he lives. And because he lives, we live. And because he wins, we win. It's like Jesus Christ takes the puck in the hockey game, plays forward, shoots the puck in the net, and then he plays goalie for the whole rest of the game. No one's scoring against him. We win, but you still got to play the game. The devil will play dirty. The other team's going to play dirty. They're going to do everything that they can, but you play. And you play with love, and you play by God's rules. And no matter what they do, just keep looking at that cross and think of what they did to him. And what can they do to us that will ever even compare? I honestly struggle with this when it says, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. When Paul writes that from prison, because I think I would be the biggest baby if I had to sit in a really small hole looking up at a vent, eating terrible food with rats around me and saying, I'm happy because I'm a child of God. But that's what we have to live out of. That Paul could say, I'm suffering and I'm in this prison because now I can talk to the guards. And Sonia and I have seen that in our lives, that people who have been very, very ill, dying of cancer, and yet they tell the doctors, I'm praying for you. What do you mean you're praying for me? Well, if I don't pray for you, the surgery won't happen. Victorious in Christ, so that even cancer becomes part of the victory of the way God gets the gospel out there. The power of love in our hearts and in our lives. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. By this we will know that we are the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And this is his commandment, that we should love one another and believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us. That's an amazing thing. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Now, earlier in the letter, it says anyone who says he's without sin is a liar and makes God to be a liar. But it means that the power of sin has been broken over us. So think of Israel. And Israel's in the land of Egypt, under Pharaoh, that ruler of the devil. And he's crushing them. And the people of Israel cry out. And God hears their cries. And he brings all of the plagues. And then finally, Pharaoh lets the people go. Bring down the forces of evil. But God was always going to bring them out. And he said to Moses, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that all of you will know that I am the Lord. And when the church is at its worst, from Israel and then Judah, there's always a remnant. God's always protecting, always moving, always driving forward so that there are people on the earth, even if it's down to one named Jesus Christ, the earth will be filled with the love of God. Through his people, through people who love him. Father in heaven, we know your kingdom will come. We know you will break down the forces of evil. So rule us by your word and your spirit, that we may love one another, that people would see in us the citizens of unconditional affection for the brotherhood within the church that flows out and goes out to the world that so desperately needs to hear the good news about this Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace, the good news that it's not about what you do, but what God has done. The good news of here's the way to love, to be married, to be parents, to be children, to date, to think about your sexuality, to think about life, to find joy on this earth, to be light in all of this darkness. God will perfect the kingdom. Your kingdom come. How long, Lord Jesus? How long? We long for his appearing, right? But not so that we can escape. Not, Lord Jesus, I'm sick of it here, so get me out of here. Lord Jesus, we're growing weary. We're tired of all the blasphemy, everything that goes against you. We're looking forward to the day you're coming. Help us speed the day. Help us to be busy for you in the kingdom. Let us be the best students, the best car mechanic, the best truck driver, the best pastor, the best elder, the best wife, the best daughter, the best nurse, the best teacher. Not to get something, but because of everything we've received, so that we would find joy and that everybody would know that Jesus abides in us and we in him, and they will know that we are Christians by our love. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we come before you to thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. We revere you and we trust you. Help us, Father, when we waver and wander in doubt. Father in heaven, let us always embrace Christ, and as he followed you as a godly son, may we be sons and daughters. We ask, Father, that you would give us all that we stand in need of, and now we ask for love and obedience and hope and faith, that, Father, even if our parents cannot give these things or refuse us these things, you will never do that. Father, you are in heaven. You are glorious and majestic. There is nothing that you cannot do beyond our wildest imagination. You are doing things in this world that are beyond anything we can conceive of. And so we ask that you would provide everything we need for body and soul. Father, we pray that we would truly know you, to honor and glorify and praise you, that we would glorify your name in all the earth for everything you do and everything that shines forth from your works. We praise you for your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, your justice, your mercy, and truth. Help us to direct all our living, whatever we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but that we will honor and praise your name always. Father, rule us by your word and spirit. Preserve and increase your church. Destroy the devil's work. Bring down Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, communism, humanism. Bring down all of those governments that are opposed to you. Wherefore do the nations rage, Heavenly Father? May they all kiss the Son, lest he be angry with them. And let us bring that word of warning also as we bring the good news. And Father, do all of this until your kingdom finally comes, when you will be all in all. We pray to you because you are our all in all. In Jesus' name, amen.